Ladies and gentlemen, we present Ernest Fontwell versus the Communications Experts, written by Laurie Wyman and starring Frank Thornton.
How do you do? My name is Ernest Fontwell, and that is a name that has only two things to be said about it. One is that it is not particularly pretty, and the other is that it is instantly forgettable. However, you will know by now that I'm here to show you how all we Ernest Fontwells must be on our guard to beat the experts in anything. Follow me, and we will get them before they get us. This week, I propose to put the boot in as far as the communications experts are concerned. Hello?
Telephone manager's office here, Mr. Fontwell. Just checking that your phone is in order.
It's been working perfectly. I haven't complained.
Oh, that's fine. In that case, you haven't been unable to get through to us, so I shall cut it off straight away.
Cut it off?
You haven't paid the account, Mr. Fontwell.
I have. I sent a cheque in your cheap envelope with foul-tasting glue a fortnight ago.
Well, that's hardly our fault, is it? We haven't received it, so according to our records, you haven't paid.
Now, make a note of that. Experts always know how to pass the buck. It's the same organisation, but a different department, so it ends up as your fault. Presumably, you should have run behind their horrible little yellow van to the sorting office, then run behind another horrible little yellow van to the telephone accounts office to make sure the cheap envelope with the rotten glue got there. Another lot to watch is the television rental service department.
Radio Ground Effusion Service, can I help you?
Yes, please. I rent a set from you, and the picture's gone all peculiar. Angela Rippon is now 8 feet high.
I see.
And that's just her head and shoulders.
Right. I'll have an engineer around there Monday week.
Monday week? But you advertise a 24-hour service.
That is correct. Either myself or some other lump of cheap labour is on the other end of this phone day and night.
That is very nearly fraud.
Oh, no. Now, hang on. If I tell the lads you've got an 8-foot-high Angela Rippon head and shoulders, they might just nip in to adjust the vertical hold so that they can see what the lower bits look like.
However, as good as their word, but also as good as the small print in their contract, the following Thursday, the engineer arrives.
Mr. Flintoll.
Fontwell, actually.
Well, it's near enough. Where is it, in here?
I doubt it, that's the loo. Try that door, it's a bigger room.
Oh, thanks very... Cool. Stone me! However long have you... Well, I didn't know we still had any models of screens that small. My word, you have been with Granny Fusion a long time, haven't you? I may have a bit of trouble here.
Why?
Well, never mind the set. I think my works manual on this heap has worn out as well. Still, I'll do what I can before 7:30.
I take it you go off duty then?
No, but I never miss Coronation Street. Any chance of a cup of tea?
Well, being a twit and an earnest font, will you give him one? You also have to endure 30 endless minutes of Coronation Street because you don't like to upset him, and in any case, he has given you a brochure to read showing Granny Fusion's newer and far more expensive models.
Yeah, of course it's much better in colour. Now, I've got the forms here, so if you'd just like to sign here,
yeah.
And here, mm-hmm. And here, mm-hmm. And here. Yeah. And the banker's order here.
Yes.
Right, I'll fit it first thing tomorrow.
Now, how is it that it takes a week to repair your old set and they can supply a new one overnight? I'll tell you how. Because they are experts at parting your funny-looking new pound notes from your funny-looking old wallet. And you have the misfortune to be an Ernest Fontwell. If you are a Fontwell and not an expert, they will find you and your checkbook. For instance, there's the stereo expert.
Yeah, well, to get perfect sound, we do have our little problems, don't we?
By we, he means you.
Obviously, all that flock paper will have to come off the walls. My brother will rip that lot off in no time at all. Very reasonable cost. At the same time, he can see to your fireplace.
That happens to be an Adam fireplace. What is wrong with it?
Well, the sound is going to bounce up it, isn't it? No, we'll have to rip it out and board it in with acoustic tiles. Same with the ceiling and walls, of course. You are after perfect stereo, I presume?
Well, yes.
Fair enough. Because those velvet curtains have got to go, as I'm sure you realise. Can't get quadraphonic with them. Triphonic, perhaps, but not quad.
Notice the blinding with science bit? All you wanted was a new radiogram that didn't have a handle to wind it up. Now, thanks to the expert, you're going to have more speakers than chairs. Not that there'll be room for the chairs. Or if there is, they won't be in the right place to get the right effect. The listener will only hear Manuel, but not his music of the mountains. And listening to Jeff Love whizzing his batter around is not terribly exciting, even if you can hear it going swee in four different directions. I had a friend who bought a quadraphonic set. Now he can only hear what you say if you say it four times. And even then he has to be sitting in the right chair in the middle of an acoustic tiled room.
I've got an aunt who makes acoustic curtains and recovers chairs with acoustic tiles.
Forget it. Forget it. Just get me a box of 200 medium-tone gramophone needles. It is at times like this that we earnest Fontwells have to learn to strike back. If we don't, the experts will not only have you signing checks for an overdraft you haven't got, but they'll also sell you the ink for the pen you wish you hadn't used when your bank manager finds out. Of course, you can always avoid him by going to your local post office and opening a giro account.
14, 15, 16, 17 and 50. Thank you very much. Next.
I'm interested in opening a giro account.
Sorry, sir. Position closed.
We change that conversation. Unless you want to shout at a piece of glass and a wire grill because all the other positions are closed as well, except for the one marked overseas mail and registered parcels only. Of course, in this modern age, there are so many new methods of communication. One day you go to your office and find that instead of a secretary, you are stuck with a dictation machine. All you have to do is chat into it, and one of the typists in the pool will hammer it out for you. It saves the company a fortune, except they forget to teach you how to use it. good morning, Miss... whatever your name is. Of course, we've never met, so I don't even know how fast you are. At typing, that is. And I'm a happily married man. Yes. Now, letter to Messrs. Sharp and Lucas. I'm not going too quickly for you, am I? That was to you and not to the letter. I'll start again. Letter to Messrs. Sharp and Lucas. Dear sirs, further to your letter of the, where the hell did I put it? Blasted thing must be on my desk somewhere. Ignore that last bit. Oh, God, how I hate these ruddy machines. Ignore that bit as well. Where the blazes is the stop button? It's Japanese junk. Surely they can write stop instead of painting daft little pictures nobody can understand. What are two arrows going in opposite directions supposed to mean? Property of British Rail? No. But I'm sorry about this, Miss, whatever your name is. I'll try again. I'll get the hang of it eventually. Probably about the same day as they present with my retirement clock. By now, you see, this man is a mental and physical wreck because the experts have decided he'd be better employed with a communication machine than gawping at big knockers, chubby knees, and an ability to take shorthand. Of course, when his tape gets down to the typing pool and is played back, all that happens is...
Good morning, miss.
Which defeats the object of the exercise altogether. Well, not altogether, because it means that another expert has got rid of another Ernest Fontwell. Even with machines, they put us down. Now you are inefficient, not their load of made-in-Hong Kong rubbish. The Russians are just as difficult. When it comes to a game of chess, it is suggested their grandmasters give advice to pupils via telepathy.
Checkmate agreed. The final game goes to the Petrovanian entry. He now becomes the overall winner.
What happened, Boris? You're out of your tiny caviar mind?
Sergei was sending me the wrong signals. Instead of move bishop to pawn, I was getting a mental picture of a poached egg on toast.
Experts are worldwide. But they don't like it if we Ernest Fontwell strike back and try to join them. They want it all their own way. They even fight amongst themselves, particularly if they want to communicate with each other in midair.
This is Concorde Bravo 1 Foxtrot.
Do you reverse?
When you're flying Concorde, not as a rule.
Oh, how wise. Where are you?
Well, that is what I was hoping you could tell me.
Oh. Well, I did hear you zoom past the control tower a couple of times half an hour ago, but by now you could be anywhere, huh? You, Have you seen anything you recognize lately? You aren't on my scanner.
Yes, the Taj Mahal and the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Concord does get a move on, doesn't it? Look, if I were you, I'd head for Australia. Do an about turn and I'll keep an eye out for you. When you hear me shout, whoa, try to land.
Potty, by the time you shout, whoa, I'll be in New York.
And all that is going on in a multi-million pound plane, jam-packed full of a load of totally innocent Ernest Fontwells. I won't dwell upon the fact that with British Rail, they only provide buffet cars from Monday to Friday. For some strange reason, we're not supposed to get hungry or want a cup of coffee on Saturdays and Sundays. Neither will I dwell on the telegram boy who nips onto his moped before you've had half a chance to open your front door and left you a notice to say that you've got to go to the post office to find out why he rang your doorbell before he vanished in a cloud of blue smoke. Nope. I'd like to warn you about another communications expert, the radio producer.
Now, I don't want you to be nervous, Mr.
Fontwell.
Oh, yes, of course. I keep thinking it's last week. That was Magnus Pike, and I haven't really got over it yet. Now, what we want this time is a frank, honest and sincere load of old rubbish from a below-the-average man.
How kind. What exactly do you want to interview me about?
Oh, good question. Well, up to you, really. Think of a blank sheet of paper and start from there. Don't feel restricted in any way. It's pre-recorded, so I can always edit it out if you go too far.
That is a great consolation.
Now, are you married?
Hundreds of times.
I see. Well, we can skate round that. No point dragging out skeletons in the cupboard, is there?
They're all alive, actually. I am also an unfrocked scoutmaster and a card-carrying communist who likes to wear suspender belts and stockings in a bubble bath while listening to punk music.
You are taking the mickey, aren't you?
If I'm not, you're in for a heck of a lot of trouble.
Oh, thank heavens for that. I could see my pension being flushed down the proverbial.
This is one thing we Ernest Fontwells must remember. Take the battle against the experts into the enemy's camp. Frighten them as much as they frighten us. Of course, there is one communication expert that we can never defeat. Mrs. Ernest Fontwell. She will win every time.
I was just thinking,
Ernest!
Oh, that's right, dear. I remember now. It was written in pink icing on the wedding cake, except that the baker didn't quite spell it correctly. I was just thinking, Ernest, now why don't we have a holiday? We could phone up the airport, book a flight on Concorde, then we could send a telegram to the hotel to make a reservation to the post office via the phone. Then we could go intercity and have a nice meal on the train to Heathrow.
Oh, forget it! You are a Mrs. Ernest Fontwell, and there are seven reasons in that sentence that mean, thanks to the communication expert, we'll be ending up sitting on our suitcases on the doorstep for a fortnight. Please, take my advice. If, like me, you are a Fontwell, don't attempt to phone, telegraph, or even move. Well, that's all for now, but remember, it's us Ernest Fontwells versus them. We must not let them win. Bye for now. I'll be with you next week. The experts don't get me first.
You've been listening to Ernest Fontwell versus the Communications Experts. The part of Ernest Fontwell was played by Frank Thornton, who was battling with Patsy Rowlands, Gordon Clyde, and David Tate. The program was written by Laurie Wyman and produced by Jeffrey Perkins. Ladies and gentlemen, we present Ernest Fontwell versus the Holiday Experts, written by Laurie Wyman and starring Frank Thornton.
How do you do? My name is Ernest Fontwell. Well, in itself, I'll grant you, it's not particularly amusing, but when it comes to fighting the experts, in anything, we are all Ernest Fontwells. The moment they suspect we have a bob or two, they're after it. This week, I'd like to tell you how to fight off the holiday experts. Don't fall for all those adverts that say, "Fly me, I'm Samantha," or "Divinia." If you're a Fontwell, all you'll cop is 15 stone of Gladys.
Oh, dear.
We are flying at 20,000 feet at 600 miles per hour, and would you like tea, coffee, or something stronger?
No. Looking at you, I'd like something a lot smaller. But if possible, awake.
Oh, stone me. Why do I always get the pernickety passengers?
You are stuck with Gladys here because it's a charter flight on a clapped-out freight plane. This means that as soon as it lands from its last flight, they shovel out the pig food and bung in a set of deck chairs and great big fat Gladys. No, there are no shortcuts to a perfect holiday. One must study the brochures.
Come to sunny Spain and enjoy the unbounded luxury of the San Sebastian Hotel. Every room equipped with private bath, all overlooking the beach and sea.
Which means that with a bit of luck, the foundations of the hotel will be laid about a week before you and your luggage arrive. If your luggage ever does arrive.
Come to sunny Italy and enjoy the unbounded luxury of the Milano Magnifico Hotel. Every room equipped with private bath. All overlooked by everyone on the beach or in the sea.
Which is much nearer the truth. Of course, there is a cheap way of having a holiday abroad. You can spend your entire fortnight off trying to get a visa from their embassy in order to spend a fortnight in their blasted country.
Hi, fella.
Good morning. I wish to visit the United States.
That could be tricky, fella. Now, let's see how you shape up. Are you a card-carrying communist? Do you intend to overthrow the American government? Have you been in prison or divorced? Have you enough capital to maintain yourself in our great country, or are you destitute? Are any legal proceedings being promoted against you?
Yes, but only in answer to the last question. I haven't paid my gas bill.
Sorry, fella. Next.
Good morning. I thought I would like to visit the glorious People's Soviet Republic to exchange the hand of comradeship between our two...
Niet! And who is next for a niet?
Good morning. I was thinking of visiting Rome.
Si, signor. You wish to have audience with His Holiness? It can be arranged. No trouble.
Well, yes. That would be an experience.
That will be 40,000 lire extra cash, of course.
I don't think I'll bother.
Sorry, no visa. Next.
Let us be honest and admit that the Ernest Fontwells of this world should take their holidays at home. That way we cut down the chances of being either lost or arrested. At any coastal resort, we can always take advantage of the mystery coach tour. Excuse me, driver.
No, what?
Without wishing to be a pest, I do realize that this is supposed to be a mystery tour, but could you give us the slightest idea where we are going? Not that I wish to spoil the fun, you understand.
Oh, you won't. I don't know where we're going either. I left me ruddy maps in the garage.
All of which gives you a great deal of confidence, particularly if you happen to have noticed a completely bald front tire as it got in. A fat lot of good your stick of souvenir rock is going to do you if that rotund heap of thin rubber goes halfway down the hill to the Cheddar Gorge. Of course, if you happen to be an enthusiast, there's nothing more relaxing or alcoholic than a fishing holiday. After being poured out of a pub with your angling friend, you stagger to the nearest bridge, chuck your line in, and open another bottle. Then comes that magic moment when your equally pie-eyed friend jerks your arm and says... Freddy, you'll fishle the frightener away. What?
Well, this bridge we're on, I think you'd better haul your line in.
Why? You mean I've caught something?
No, but there's a train coming.
Which is liable to put you off fishing or booze for at least a week. Another incredibly boring way of wasting your holiday is bird watching.
Oh, you dirty old devil. I'll have the law on you as soon as I've got my clothes on.
Which probably means birdwatching isn't so incredibly boring after all. Mind you, it might be wiser to buy binoculars. You don't get belted one with a wet bikini quite so often. Now, holiday camps can be fun, but you do need to be specially trained in endurance to enjoy them. The relentless round of unbridled gaiety can prove a bit much if you're over 14. Far better to save up for a couple of years and stay at a luxury hotel, complete with agile staff, always at your service and willing to help.
Oh, thank you very much, sir. Oh, my word, them stairs are a killer. Now, if you'd like to put your cases down on the cabin. Cabinet, I'd be much obliged.
There.
Oh, thank you very much, sir. You've been most helpful. Thank you.
I don't know why you bothered to accompany me. I carried the cases. You could have stayed on the ground floor.
The manager. Meant. Hope you'll enjoy your stay up here in the bridal suite.
Bridal suite? But I'm here for a conference. I'm on my own.
Oh, that's a pity, that is, isn't it? Oh, just ring reception and ask for the massage parlor. That should solve that little problem. Well, at worst reception, I hope you're out herself. But to be honest, she's a bit past it. Unlike myself.
Of course, a much cheaper way of losing your money is a camp holiday, if you'll pardon the expression. But take no chances. Just buy a second-hand tent from a friend or order one through the papers. 1 foot inside the door of the camping and tent specialists and the expert will pounce.
Good morning. Exactly what would you like me to do for you? I do have quite a large selection.
Yes, you do, don't you? Yes. Yes, I noticed as I came in. Actually, I was looking for something not too expensive in tents. Perhaps you could suggest something.
Interesting.
Something suitable for my wife and myself.
Oh. Well, there's the catalogue. Have a shifty for yourself. There's bound to be a load of old canvas and string that'll suit you.
How very obliging. Of course, being a Fontwell, and therefore a twit, we finally get talked into the giant maxi super version at the back of the catalogue, which means you'll be sitting in a field eating baked beans for a fortnight because you can't afford anything else. And even they have to be warmed in a tin over your cigarette lighter after paying for the tent. Never mind. You eventually erect the blasted thing in a howling gale and persuade yourself that you're having a wonderful time until the expert camper turns up at your flap door.
Morning, chum. Have you been camping a long time, have you?
Well, no. This is my first time, actually.
Oh, really? Oh, it's strange, that. Seeing as your tent is the old Mark IV model, I thought you must have hung on to it, you know.
No, I've only just bought it.
Oh, really? No. I thought the manufacturers had withdrawn them all. Yeah, got done under the Trade Descriptions Act, they did.
I have a feeling I don't want to know the answer, but why?
Well, the catalogue says the centre pole is old English pine.
And?
It's a load of firewood stiff with Dutch elm disease. Hey, you don't suffer from hay fever, do you?
No.
It's just as well. One violent sneeze and the whole lot will collapse around your ears. Oh, and I know it's raining, but you wasn't thinking of cooking those baked beans inside the tent, was you?
Curiously enough, yes.
No, I don't. That's the other thing the manufacturer's got done for.
What?
The canvas isn't fireproofed. One fag end not snuffed out and the old lot'll vanish faster than Concord.
Oh, thanks very much.
Yeah. Look, I'll tell you what now. I'm packing this camping lark in. I could let you have my mobile home tent for quite a reasonable price, you know. At least you'd feel safe at nights.
Well, that's very kind, but what do I do with this one?
Give them fair warning and donate it to the Boy Scouts. At least they'll be able to stand up straight in it.
Now, don't forget that. The expert always attempts to destroy your confidence. Then, out of the kindness of his heart and the thickening of his wallet, shows you your way out of the trouble you were never in the first place. Now let us, as usual, finish with the one expert on all things that none of us Ernest Fontwells can defeat, Mrs. Ernest Fontwell. When it comes to planning holidays, she is unbeatable.
About our holidays this year, now naturally Mother will be coming with us.
Oh, blimey.
And I don't think she was too keen on that holiday camp last year.
That was one of the reasons I picked it.
And that caravan holiday the year before wasn't much of a success either, was
it? Oh, yes it was. She left on the second day.
So I thought that this year we should treat her to something different.
Potholing with a very short rope and no map?
Yes. I thought it would be such fun for us all to go to Las Vegas.
Las Vegas?
Oh, because you know how much he enjoys the one-armed bandit machines. She won twice at Skegness in 1973.
And the other 75 times she lost 18 quid out of my wallet. Mind you, at least he kept her quiet for a quarter of an hour. It was almost worth it.
Now, don't be difficult, thingamy.
Ernest, I'm your husband!
Of course, I knew we'd met before. Now then, if we go on one of those unscheduled flights and queue up for a day or two beforehand, it won't cost that much.
No, no. Just a numb bum from trying to kip on your suitcase and violent indigestion from a steady diet of plastic sausage rolls and cardboard cups of pre-packed instant tea.
Or perhaps Mumsy would prefer the Costa Brava. What do you think?
I think we send Mumsy to Las Vegas on a single ticket and you and I go to Skegness. That way we might all have a good holiday.
Oh, I don't think she'd like that. No, on second thought, let's make use of your holiday. We'll stay at home.
Huh?
Now, there's the kitchen to be redecorated, and the bathroom wants repapering, and then there's the loo. Now, you know how it ka-choinks but doesn't go woof properly. No, no, you're right. We'll stay at home and save money.
Save money? Don't you believe it? By the time you've paid for all the tools and hired the equipment to do all that lot, it would have been cheaper to go to Las Vegas. Even if you did have to fly Gladys. Not only that, you wouldn't have been quite so exhausted. So, take my advice. Have a holiday anywhere, even if it is Skegness. Goodbye, and see you again shortly.
You've been listening to Ernest Fontwell versus the Holiday Experts, starring
Frank Thornton.
Well done. I quite enjoyed it. As Ernest Fontwell. The show was written by Laurie Wyman. And, look, do you mind reading the rest?
Why?
Well, I might miss my train. We're all going to Skegness on holiday.
And the best of British. The show also included Patsy Rowlands, David Tate, and Bill Wallace. And was produced by Geoffrey Perkins.